So we hear about prayer today, conversation with our Lord, focused, intentional time of learning, growing, and blossoming in the life of Christ. We hear from our ancestors in the first reading. Abraham is in conversation with the Lord, and he is questioning, and maybe you could call it negotiating, with the Lord. He asks the Lord over and over the same question. If you find 50 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you destroy them? If you find 40, if you find 30, if you find 20, if there are only 10. In the Psalms, we hear of giving thanks to the Lord with our whole heart. We spoke, I will sing your praise because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. You keep me safe. You will make good purpose for me. And in the second reading, we hear of being invited to continue to live our lives in Christ Jesus, rooted and built up in him. And how many of you are gardeners or planters of trees? Anybody? You know how long it takes to replant and pull and care and nurture the garden. If we're to be rooted and bound up in Christ, same kind of care, same kind of focus, same kind of intention is needed. And in the gospel, the disciples have seen and witnessed Jesus praying in various places. They've seen John the Baptist praying, and they ask Jesus, teach us to pray. They want a relationship that, like Jesus has, with the Father and with others. Jesus teaches them and admonishes them, be persistent. Can't let those weeds cover the flowers. You got to be persistent in pulling them out. You got to be persistent in watering the dry ground. Maybe pruning. And then Jesus says, ask, search, knock, come through the open door into relationship with the source of all life, healing, and forgiveness, the one who gives the Holy Spirit to you. So much in Scripture. Those are just a few stories from our ancestors of faith who help teach and lead and guide us now in these days here. So as I reflected on those scriptures, I became aware of several experiences that I had this week with others. Others showing me how their prayer life deepens. Others giving examples of what they do. So one of the things was during our recent workshop on Thursday, was watching a group of about 14 in there making different shapes in their little frame. And as, again, some of them are displayed up on the bulletin board. But as each person attended and focused on what they were doing, there was this hush that came across the whole group. And it was like there was this sacred moment of prayer within that focusing time. In the devotion, Christ in Our Home, that the church purchases for people to take home with them, July 22nd, Shelley Cunningham wrote, and I quote, during the past couple of years, as so much of life has seemed beyond our control, I've been striving to hold things loosely. It's become a spiritual practice. When I feel the anxiety and a desire for answers and certainty coming about, I close my eyes, I turn my palms up, and take some deep breaths, and I envision letting go of my need for control and receiving God's Spirit of peace. Want to try it? Okay, here we go. I know you didn't say yes, but you didn't say no either, and I didn't give you a chance. Take a couple deep breaths. And now, if you want, you can close your eyes and lift your hands open and let go of any kind of heartache, any desire to control things. Just let it go. Envision it letting go. Focus on patience and grace, releasing the control and receiving the spirit of peace. Okay, and last Sunday, you were invited to remember M&Ms, Mary and Martha, and how they both have a listening aspect to their lives and a doing aspect, and how to balance both, and hearing the words of Jesus saying, the listening to me is the important part. That's the better part, because from listening to me, you will then be moved to move out in love. There's a story by James Ball, and he writes, I quote, "I learned what real faith looks like from a woman who lost her vision. This woman attended a school for the blind to learn skills to function in life. In one exercise, they took the students white water rafting." How many of you, if you were blind, would find yourself in a boat whitewater rafting? I see a lot of shakes of the head. The students rode small inflatable boats down a river through wildly churning water around boulders and around rocks. I imagined how frightening that could be. Loud, roaring water, the boat rocking, and water splashing without being able to see what was coming around the next bend. I asked this woman how she could do something that many people with full vision would be afraid to do. She answered, "I trusted the guide. I listened to what he said. I paddled when he told me to. And I jumped into the middle of the raft when he said jump." Now, when I envision jumping to the middle of the raft and I'm blind, what if I jump the other way out of the boat? But, middle of the raft. I believed he knew where he was going and that he would get us through. How could we apply that to our life with Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes we don't know where we're going. We're in discernment, or we're just full of distractions. How could we apply this? I trusted the guide, Jesus Christ. When the Lord said, move, I moved. When the Lord said, stay, I stay. Do I trust that the Lord is with me and that I will be led and guided in every step of the way through whatever circumstances come my way? I invite you to reflect on these questions. What does real faith look like and mean to you? Where do you wish to go in your relationship with Jesus Christ? And how deep and intimate do you want to be with our Lord Jesus Christ? Your answers to these questions and the practices that stem from those answers will form and shape your life and also be a witness to others of the love and the closeness you are to our Lord Jesus Christ. Couple more things that just came up this morning. You know, it's kind of fascinating to me how as we study scriptures and try and be open to the Spirit's movement, how different things will kind of come our ways, to let us know that the Spirit is alive and moving and active. Now, we heard in the gospel story that the Lord's Prayer, right? Well, lo and behold, someone sent me a website that had coloring pages and said, hey, you might be interested in, you know, the coloring pages, and they go along with the Lord's Prayer. You probably can't see it from there, but so it's like, oh, I'm like, this is awesome. We might have kids today. We can print some off and give them to the kids and learn the Lord's Prayer. Or there may be some of you who like to color, and as you color and focus, you become aware of God's presence in your life. One practice. It's not for everybody. Some people don't like this, but other people do. There are some who like to go out in their garden, and that becomes their prayer to God. And sometimes like, oh God, this is so tough. There's so much to do. I mean, it can be either way. And like, you see the beautiful, walking down the road, saw some beautiful snapdragons, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I never noticed these before, and how beautiful they were. And it's like, thanks and praise to our Lord for the great gift of nature. Then someone stopped in my office and they said, I created this quilt. Now it's a size that you could put on a table, a size that, you know, you could maybe wrap up in, or maybe you need like a, you know, in the sunshine, you need like, you know, a scarf, you know. But they said, in the green is written the Lord's Prayer. Now, is that a coincidence? We could say it is. Is it a movement of the Spirit that on this day when the gospel is read, we're talking about the Lord's Prayer? Lo and behold, here you go. So wherever this is, it could be a reminder that, yes, Lord, thy will be done, or give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to leave it up here so you can take a look at it after church if you would like. Then, for those of you who really want to go into a deeper project, what do you think this is? Milt and Carla, you can't answer this one. What?
Fingerprint.
A fingerprint. You probably can't see it from there. I'll leave this up here too. But Milt and Carla knows what this is. What is this? Sentences of Scripture. And so, if you have this sitting around and you want to go into deeper devotion, deeper thought, deeper ponderance, you just go like this. Okay, it says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love. Return to me, and I will return to you, Malachi. Many different ways. Each of us have our ways. The spiritual practices that we put into our lives do not save us. God saves us. The spiritual practices help us, though, to start seeing God out and about, moving. God with us. God loving us. Through creation, all of creation, each other, nature, etc. So I'm going to leave this up here too if you'd like to take a look at that later today. Let us pray. Gracious and compassionate God, help us to find you with us. Enable us to see and engage in spiritual practices that focus on you and build on the foundation of love you have already placed in us. Strengthen us as we are rooted and built up in you through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of your Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.